Blog Talk Radio.
Ron?
Yes.
I can't hear anything. Do you hear anything?
No. I've been waiting for the song.
It looks like it's playing. Hi, everyone. I'm assuming we're on air. I have a song that's supposed to be playing, and we all can't hear it. So we're going to try playing the song. Oh, we are having so many problems with Blog Talk. I believe it is actually Mercury going retrograde. I've had to get a new phone, even though I didn't want to. Hi, this is Bonnie Albers on air. And unfortunately, our beginning, which is our age of Aquarius, is not playing. It looks like it's playing. It's on my board to play, but I do not see it playing. So I am going to continue, and hopefully everybody can hear. If you can hear me, Tabitha, you're out there. Can you hear us on the air? Because we do not hear the song, and the song looks like it's playing. Okay, well, they can hear us, Ron, but they can't hear the song. So I'm going to start the show. Hi, everyone. This is Bonnie Albers on air. And ooh, we're already starting. And Mercury retrograde for me, Ron, has started. once again. I am Bonnie Albers on air, and there went our little song. It's so cute because I can't just start this beautiful Astro day without that song. Just would make me my heart go a flitter and then dive because I just love that song for the Age of Aquarius and for this show. So I'm so glad it actually played, and let's hope it doesn't. Mercury doesn't go retrograde and kick us off again. But we have been having so many issues with Blog Talk as well as our phones and computers. The only thing I'm going to blame it on, Ron, and I know you're going to laugh at me, is Mercury retrograde. But anyway, before I announce my wonderful host, I still have a few announcements I'd like to make. First of all, again, I'm Bonnie Albers, and today we have the wonderful Ron Cole. He is a famous astrologist. He's going to do a reading for a girl named Denise. She's going to call in at 1. She won the reading at 1:30, and we're going to see what an actual reading of a chart would be like with a famous astrologist. It's so cool. I get so into this. And before that, Ron and I are going to talk about this new full moon coming up in Leo that I'm so excited about. We're also going to talk about the planet Uranus. Let me tell you what I do. My name, again, is Bonnie Albers. You can reach me on Facebook at Bonnie Mozenter Albers. Drop me a line. Tell me what you'd like to hear. If there's any problem with you getting on the air to ask questions to any one of my co-hosts, just drop me your phone number and tell me what day you want to get on, and we will make sure that you get heard and you get listened to and that we take you. Today, again, at 2 o'clock, we have the famous Kelly Coulter. She is a Atlantean life card reader. She says birth card, I say life card, but you know, that's what potatoes and potatoes are all about. Kelly will be here at 2 o'clock. We also have some guests tomorrow. We have a wonderful guest tomorrow named Jamie Price. She is actually a energy healer, a channeler, and she does the language of light. It's pretty cool. I had one other guest on that does this, Laura Pierrette. And she was fabulous. So please tune in tomorrow. She does healing. She does a language that you will just be, it'll knock the socks off. But anyway, I would like to start our day today. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Bonnie. Hello, everyone.
I am so happy you're here. Yesterday, we had people that tried to get on. We had people that couldn't get on. So let's see where Mercury leads us today. Ron, I know that we have an absolutely wonderful full moon coming up on not just a regular day, but a day called Valentine's Day. So I know this full moon is going to be all stocked up with every love and things you could think of because it's in Leo. So could you tell us a little bit about that full moon coming up, Ron?
Well, you said it. It is on one of the most romantic days of the year. Of all days to have a full moon on Valentine's Day. Another great day for a full moon would be Halloween. But what we're having tomorrow is the Leo full moon, the one and only Leo full moon of the year. And this occurs because the sun is in Aquarius. Time the sun is in one sign, the full moon will be on the opposite. So the Leo full moon is occurring tomorrow. I don't have the exact degree in front of me, but I think it's 25 degrees Leo or somewhere close to that. So it's very interesting because Leo full moons are very important for looking within and without, inside of us and outside of us, for strength, empowerment, abilities for leadership, abilities to take control of issues that seemingly are out of control, whether they are circumstances in our life, like with our children or with our work situation, or issues within us. Leo is very much connected to empowerment and control management. It's also a very healing full moon because it's the sign ruled by the sun, and the sun is the giver of life, and it's very important for all life here in this world and throughout our whole solar system. So The Leo full moon, I call it a life empowerment, life regenerative type of full moon.
Well, you know what, Ron? I've got to tell you something, because you know I claim I'm Aries in the first, which I know I'm not, but I just claim it because then it's all about me. I got, you know, when you did my chart, I have six planets in Leo, and with a Leo full moon that I have an Aquarius moon, I'm going to just, this moon's going to light me up, don't you think?
Oh, that's possible, because the moon could be within orb of opposing your natal moon, which is in Aquarius, and with that many planets in Leo, it could very much connect or conjunct to any of those planets.
Well, I'll tell you, Ron, if I float away and I'm so bright I end up in the solar system, will you take a string and pull me down so that I can do the show on Monday? Or actually, I have somebody coming tomorrow. But I am so excited about this full moon because I think I have Venus in Leo. I have Mercury in Leo. I have every planet you could probably think of in Leo. And it's about time that all of this full moon just lit up my life. So if you are anywhere near me on February 14th, everybody look out. I'm going to be, I don't even know what the word is, I'm going to be electrified. So I am so excited about this new moon for me. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are also excited about this full moon. And I just think this is so cool. We have a lot of air signs. You know, Aquarius is an air sign. And what's really funny, Ron, is somebody just showed me a pattern that all of our readers, except you and I, are air signs. We have two water signs and three air signs. Isn't that, like, funny?
Well,
that's pretty cool.
Well, Leo is associated with the heart. And it's very apropos that we have the image of the heart for Valentine's Day. This fits very well with the heart connection. Leo is the sign that rules the heart, the spine, the vertebrae, and it's very much associated with those areas of the body.
Well, I will tell you that everybody run out and buy a huge chocolate heart or cake or vanilla, whichever you prefer, because this Valentine's Day for all of us is going to be all about love, relationship, emotion with ourselves, with others, and with any partner that we have. And I'm just really excited about it. Now, I know you wanted to talk about another planet, and this planet is pretty cool. Its name is Uranus. Some people call it Uranus. I like Uranus because I'm a nurse, and, you know, the connotation is funny to me. But I know a lot of you astrologists call it Uranus. So, Ron, could you tell us what you call it and tell us about it?
I call it Uranus because that's the name I find the vast majority of people know it by. It was the first discovered planet in our solar system. It was not known to the ancient peoples, and it's one that is just about impossible to see with the naked eye. There is only one case of an individual who recorded seeing this planet. He was in the Andes in South America, and he was in an elevation of over 14,000 feet, and he knew exactly where the planet was at because he had a telescope, and he could see it very clearly through the telescope. But what he did was look out of the corner of his eye without the telescope in that direction, and he was able to perceive that planet. So he may actually be the first person or only known person to be aware of this planet from just the visual eye. It is very interesting because it's the planet of surprises and the unexpected.
Yay!
And none of this was planned for the beginning of the show to be like that, but it certainly did have a combination of a certain Mercury retrograde feeling and Uranus-type feeling. It's the ruler of the sign of Aquarius, so it's the planet associated with the new age, the age of Aquarius. And by the way, today is Lincoln's birthday, and he's often been quoted throughout astrological books as being quite a typical Aquarius person, and a lot of descriptions as to why. This planet, the ruler of Aquarius, is associated with freedom and independence and being free and doing your own thing and not being under anyone's thumb or under anyone's control. It's the planet of the strength of the individualness of the self. However, it's kind of a separative planet. It's not one that is connected to associative energies like marriages or dating or unions. It's more associated with going separate ways or pulling people apart, when it reaches certain placements in people's charts, many, many times this planet is the trigger force for a divorce or for a separating of two people. However, don't get me wrong, it's not an evil planet. It just has a way of breaking something up that no longer needs to go on or no longer needs to continue. It was discovered by a Britisher named Herschel. In fact, even until not that long ago, and maybe yet still today, many British publications will not call this planet Uranus. They'll call it Herschel in honor of this discoverer. And it was discovered, I believe, in 1781. Now, don't quote me, but it was right around that year. And that was the time of revolutions in the world. We had the American Revolution, the French Revolution. We had people striking out for democracy and freedom and throwing away authoritarianism. And so this planet is very much related to independence and related to being free. And what is the age of Aquarius? Well, this is that planet's sign. It's working through the energies of that planet. So the age of Aquarius and its planet Uranus is helping people to free up from old ways of thinking and old limited factors and belief systems. It's the planet of all new inventions, including the present internet, computer technology, all forms of electrical devices, cell phones, appliances, automobiles, airplanes, all of the things that have come into our society within the last 100 years plus have all been under the domain, so to speak, of the energy of Aquarius due to this new age starting and under the influence of this planet. Now, it does have an interesting energy. It likes to do things different. It's the planet of being unique. It's the planet of
standing out. I love
that. It's the planet of not being one of the group or one of the masses. It's the planet of thinking into yourself. And you know, Bonnie, this is important because that's what the age of Aquarius is teaching us. The age of Aquarius is the individual becoming their own master. And I don't mean that in the sense of flying in the face of God. I mean that in the sense of realizing power, talents, abilities, capacities that are within us that we've deliberately been kept ignorant of or who have lost touch with. It's going to start renewing or revitalizing these types of energies, such as intuitive energies. Why do animals have a natural intuitive energy? They know when an earthquake is coming, a tsunami, and they're reacting, and people are just thick as bricks. They don't realize it, and they just get right in the middle of it. Their intuition isn't working like it once should have, and Uranus is going to liberate that in mass.
I love that, Ron, because I've got to tell you, I have a little chihuahua, you know Chili, and whenever I do this show, I have to lock her in, and I mean, I don't lock her, but I put her in my bedroom because when she comes in this room, and it seems like spirit comes in a lot because this is where I'm doing the show at, when the show where I do my, the room that I do my show in is full of spirit, she goes crazy. She's looking all over the place. She jumps in my lap. All her hair starts shedding, and she can't sit. It's like she tries to get her body to go into mine. So I know she's seeing spirit. And I think that's so cool because I'm sure we all used to see spirit. I'm sure we all had that third eye. We all were able to sense when things were happening, and we all could probably, we were telepathic at one time. So I am loving that animals, they have that innate sixth sense, things that we should have and still have but have to develop more, and I think that's where we're headed. We're headed to where the animals are so much, I think, further ahead than we are with that sixth sense, and I think it's just because it's a flight or fight type kind of reaction. But I love that animals can do that because then when I see Chili react, I know someone's here.
And exactly. Animals have never lost that energy. Innately, it was there in the early humans, but as we got more civilized, more sophisticated, more complex in our day-to-day existence and struggling, or should I say more complex with our reality, we have certain things within us that got clouded over or got pushed deep into our subconscious. It's never totally lost. It's just kind of buried within. And Uranus is the liberator. It can take stuff that's buried within and bring it out. And suddenly, too, it's not a planet that's subtle. It is not subtle. It can work very quickly and without unexpected situations. For example, planets rule things in our life. So the internet, the computer, that's all under the control of Uranus. But so is lightning. So is our lightning bolts from the sky, which can happen suddenly without warning. So could be earthquakes, which can happen quite unexpectedly, suddenly. That's under the domain of Uranus. That happen without warning are under this planet's domain.
What planet? What are the signs? You know, like Scorpio, Cancer. What are the signs that Uranus rules? Doesn't it rule Scorpio and another planet, or am I wrong with
that? No, it only rules Aquarius. However, there is an interesting interconnection there, because before Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto were discovered, we only knew through Saturn. We knew Mercury through Saturn. Saturn is the last planet we could see with the visual eye. And planets used to rule two signs except the sun or moon. So traditionally, in olden times, Saturn ruled both Capricorn and Aquarius. When Uranus was discovered, it was not only the first planet to be discovered through a telescope, but it was the first planet to remove a rulership sign from another planet. Uranus, very quickly on after its discovery, was placed in people's charts by astrologers in the late 1700s, and they began quickly finding out that it had a strong connection to Aquarius. So Saturn lost Aquarius and only retained Capricorn, one sign, and Uranus, one sign. However, this may sound totally bizarre, but there are many astrologers that interlace those two and say Saturn rules Capricorn and still co-rules Aquarius. Uranus rules Aquarius, but has a co-dominion or rulership over Capricorn, which seems highly unlikely when you see Capricorn's nature and the nature of Uranus. But there is supposed to be a symbiotic energy between the two of those.
Well, I know what it has to be, because you know what I think about Capricorn. And believe me, everybody, don't think I don't love Capricorn, because I love all the signs. But my husband is a Capricorn moon. So if anybody thinks I'm prejudiced, I'm really not. But you know how Capricorn is, and maybe it needs Uranus to kind of push it a little and be a little bit more spontaneous, because that's not what Capricorn and Saturn seem the perfect match. But when you throw Uranus in there, I'm thinking maybe we did that just to give Capricorn a little punch, because it needs something, don't you think?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned some other signs. Capricorn can be a very interesting sign. If a person has a lot of planets in it, they could be a typical Capricorn, quite textbook-like. But if they have planets spread out through other clusters of signs, they could be very different than the traditional Capricorn, even having their sun there. But you mentioned, doesn't Uranus connect to Scorpio? And there is a connection there, because it is exalted in Scorpio. Every planet has one sign of the zodiac in which it is said to be very well placed in. It does not rule that sign, but it has a very powerful energy when it's in that sign. It works well. And of all signs of the zodiac, Uranus is exalted in Scorpio. And there is an interconnection there. So next to having it in the sign of Aquarius, having Uranus in Scorpio would be the second most preferable sign to have it in.
Yeah, and you know what's so funny about Scorpio? Because my daughter is a Scorpio, and, you know, I just love Scorpio, because I love Scorps and Sages, and I don't know why, but I love all the signs. My husband's an Aquarius. I'm a Cancer, but I love Sagittarius and Scorps, and I guess that's because my kids are those. But, you know, Scorpio is a little secretive. They keep a little bit back from you. So maybe that Uranus is kind of, I would think Uranus would be exalted in that sign, because they kind of are secretive a little too. They hold back just a little. So that would, Uranus that just is like instantaneous surprise would not surprise me to be exalted in Scorpio. Do you know why? Can you tell us why it would be exalted in Scorpio?
Well, it's very interesting. There's no fixed formula to find where a planet is exalted. They're very quite exalted at random. For example, the sun is exalted in Aries. The moon is exalted in Taurus. Mercury is exalted in Aquarius. But Uranus, by observation, functioned very well when it was in Scorpio in people's birth charts. One of the reasons is that many of those people had great power to discover, pioneer, and premiere brand new things in the world. Uranus is connected with inventions, and Scorpio is a very inwardly psychic sign. It feels, knows, and senses inwardly. And many times when Uranus is in Scorpio, the inventive planet, a hunch, a premonition, an inner sense of great revealing will occur within the person, and then they bring that up and out to the outer world and create it and make it and have it manifest in reality for everyone to utilize and benefit from. So there is a powerful connection between Scorpio's inner power and Uranus's outward, bringing it out for all to learn and grow with and benefit from.
Well, I will tell you, Ron, I think my daughter, of course you know her, I think my daughter is quite psychic. She is so psychic, she's full of water everywhere. Besides being a Scorpio, she's a Cancer moon, and besides all that, water is deep thinking. And you know and I know that what that kind of starts to boil up is that psychic ability, and I just love that. And I think that Uranus is going to hit real quick with her, and I think it already has, and I think you helped that come out with her. So I'm so happy, and I love all of astrology. I love to find out any little thing I can about astrology. Right now we have your next astrology chart lady on. Would you like to start with Denise, or is there something else you would like to tell our callers and listeners about Uranus?
Just one or two more comments before we go into Denise's chart. Uranus is very important for the time that we are all evolving through now in the solar system, because our whole solar system, sun and all of our planets, are now in and moving through the sign of Aquarius, and we've just started. It's only come in less than 100 years. It's going to be, in effect, 2,160 years from beginning to end. So we have over 2,000 years to go in which this sign will be the energy of the evolution of the human being. And its symbol, Aquarius, is a water bearer, a symbol of a human figure. There are two others that have that symbol, Gemini, the human figure of the twins, Virgo, the human figure of the maiden of the harvest. And those three have a special nickname. They are called human signs. Gemini, Virgo, and Aquarius. And it's said that when we have an age of 2,160 years in which one of those human signs is happening, we have quantum leaps in human consciousness, inventiveness, discoveries, and breakthroughs. And we could see the acceleration of technology from, let's say, the late 1800s. Let's go back to maybe the 1880s, 1890s, to where we are today. So many quantum leaps and breakthroughs, it's just hard to imagine that we could accomplish this much this fast in this short period of time. And this is because of Aquarius's acceleration of breakthroughs and discoveries. Now, I want to leave everyone with this idea. If we've made this kind of breakthrough progress in, let's say, 100 years, could you only imagine what we will all be doing and acquiring and achieving in the next 2,000 years as this sign continues to evolve the human consciousness?
Oh, absolutely. And before I get into this whole big spiel, because I really have Denise on the phone and line, and she is going to be on in just a few minutes. Hi, Denise. Is it, you know how I feel, Ron, where this is going to be taking us. I can see the telepathy coming. I can see we're not even going to need cell phones because we're going to develop our human brain to send messages to each other and to different planets and to different worlds. I am so excited. At the end of these 2,600 and so many years, I hope that I am in spirit or reincarnated here, because I want to see at the end what where we get to, because I already can feel the technology is going to be totally brain related. So I'm so excited. You know?
Yes, Uranus
so
is related to frequency vibration. It's related to brain waves. It's related to electrical waves. It's related to electricity, lightning, anything, radio waves, television waves, anything that has a frequency vibration is under the rulership of that planet and sign.
I know. I am so excited. And I've got to tell you, we have a girl, Tabitha. She's in queue, and she is so excited, Ron, of everything you were talking about. She just sent me one word that says, this is very exciting. So, you know, everybody understands what Aquarius is going to do for all of us light workers, all of us really psychic, empathic, any type of, worker that we have of the light here that is into psychic ability, mediumistic ability, spirit ability. And, you know, there's so much more. There's crystal healers. There's language of light healers. I think all of them are going to come to, you know, I hate to keep using the word light, but, you know, we're all going to come to that light vision. And that is going to be by the end of Aquarius, we will not look, feel, smell, or see the same as we do right now. And that's just so exciting to me. I hope that I'm around. And if I'm not around, I'll see it from spirit. But I am going to take Denise, if you are ready, Ron.
I'm ready.
Okay. Let me... Hi, Denise.
Hi, Bonnie. Hi, Ron.
Good afternoon, Denise. A pleasure to talk with you.
And a pleasure to talk with you also.
I am so excited because I know Denise. She's a sweetheart. I love her. She's a great girl, and she's been waiting for a while, Ron, to get your reading. She won this reading for today, and we've had three more. So, again, I'm going to ask everybody in queue if they send me their birth date, the exact time they're born, and where they're born. You will also could win a reading with Ron. We take first come, first serve, and we'll tell you when you're going to be on the next show. So go ahead, Ron, and please talk to Denise because she's a sweetheart.
Well, Denise, I've set up your chart based on the information you gave me, and your reading or anyone's reading, I will not reveal birth, cities, dates, or times, but I'll talk about the framework of the chart itself. You are born under Libra, but sun sign Libra by one day. Your sun is 1 degree, 7 minutes Libra, which means on the day before your birth, the sun entered Libra. So you are still officially under Libra. Now, you do have a number of planets in Virgo, the sign the sun had just moved out from. You've got Uranus, Pluto, and Mercury in Virgo. And the only thing in Libra is your sun sign. At the time of your birth, the sign of Gemini was coming over the eastern horizon in your birth city, and the planet Saturn was right smack dab straight overhead on the high noon position of the sky. So this is all very, very interesting. First of all, you are born under a sun sign, which is an air sign. Libra, Aquarius, and Gemini represent the air trinity, and these signs are connected to communication. These are often, arguably, the most intelligent signs of the zodiac, and they deal with any form of communicationary prowess, whether it is teaching, writing, reading, lecturing, learning, communicating in counseling. They are good with words and good with flow of words and always want to learn and acquire more insight. Now, Gemini is a particularly smart ascendant. It can do a couple of nice little quirks. Many people with Gemini rising, not all, but many, will have a baby face. They will look younger. They won't always age as quickly as their peers would. It's very interesting. I've noticed people with Gemini rising, which you have, will sometimes go to a high school reunion and only look a couple of years older than they did when they had graduated, and everyone around them may look like old people, and I've heard them tell me that. It's a sign not only of looking youthful but thinking youthful, and it's a sign of connecting the dots between one factor to another, and you're good at doing that. If you have two diverse factors, you could find a commonality between them and connect the dots. If you discover one thing and then discover something else that doesn't seem to have any interconnection with it, you have a way of finding a connection. Gemini is called the connector. In a house, Gemini rules the hallway, the part that connects the living room, kitchen, dining room area to the bedrooms, bathrooms, the connecting transit area, the hall, is ruled by Gemini. So having that rising sign, and you have it in very late Gemini, by the way, a little bit later in your birth time, you would have Cancer rising, but it's still Gemini. Last week, we very briefly talked about the nodes, and the North Node is the one that is looked at as very important in the understanding of modern-day interpretive astrology. They are not planets, but they are factors of the moon. That's why they're called the moon's nodes, and one is called the North Node, and the other is called the South Node, and they are exactly opposite each other in the astrology chart. The North Node is considered important because that's the direction that the person is supposed to be moving toward or to in this life. It's like Dharma or a destiny that a person is supposed to acquire or move into. Well, when you were born, your North Node is exactly on your ascendant to the same degree. Your ascendant is 26 Gemini. Your North Node is 26 Gemini. Now, that's a very interesting and powerful karmic link, and here's what it means. It means that in a past life or in a past situation, you did not emphasize or respect the power of the self. You gave and gave and gave to others in a past life for various reasons or things until there was really nothing for yourself. You bent your knee down in homage to others, but you didn't give yourself value or didn't give yourself self-respect or self-empowerment. Now, in this life, this is not ego. It's not meant to be ego. It means that love of self, true respect of self, and true quality of being of who you are is very important to grow and keep fixated in a positive way in the consciousness. So what I would recommend for you, Denise, is at certain times in your life, perhaps several times a year, to stop and do a progress meditation. And by that, I mean look at where you are right now at the time of that meditation, where you have come from, what you have achieved, what knowledge you have gleaned, what insight you have, what capacity for work or power that you have or talent or ability, and do it in a very positive look at how I'm evolving and growing and what insights I am acquiring. This is not me first, me energy, or meant to be egotism. It's a life respect, personal self-growth reflection. And the North Node on the ascendant in Gemini, which is the sign of words and ideas and communication, is very important to kind of see this. Now, what about Mr. Saturn way up on the top of the chart? Well, you were born with Saturn in Aquarius, but in a very interesting placement. It was at the very, very, very last degree of Aquarius. The next notch over would be the first part of Pisces. So Saturn is at 29 degrees. Now, first of all, wow. When I see a planet at 29 degrees, bells go off because this has a nickname. The 29th degree of any sign of the zodiac is called an anaretic degree, and it means a degree of completion, a degree of finality, a degree of completing something. And it means that Saturn is related to work and work industriousness and the kind of work and business and capacity of job we are capable of expressing or handling in life. But it's in Aquarius, which is what we just talked about earlier in this session today, or in our talk today. It's the sign of independence and the sign of freedom and the sign of breakthrough insight and discovery. This means that in this lifetime, you are to tap into, through your evolution of this life, passing of time, and raising up of your consciousness, lifetimes in which you were an inventor, you were a reformer, you were an originator, and you were an iconoclast, someone who broke the old glass ceiling or the old limiting barrier and came up with a brand new invention, a new way of doing things, a new way of thinking. Now, why is that important? Because you are now living in a transitionary life, a life going from an old age Pisces to a new age Aquarius. And the old age dies, the new age is born. It's like New Year's Eve to New Year's Day. The old year with the sickle and the old man with the beard is the age of Pisces. The new year, the baby with the diaper and the new year coming up is Aquarius. And to have this Saturn in Aquarius, it means that this particular incarnation is Denise. You've got great ability to tap into lifetimes in which you broke barriers and were individualistic and were ahead of the times in which you were in. And you can bring those breakthrough ahead of the times conscious energies into today's lifetime and focus that in your career and job. Because not only is Saturn related to work, career, and job, it's sitting right exactly on the beginning, or as we call it, the cusp of your house of career, work, and job in this life. So you can be quite an original person in your work. You can be quite an original breakthrough idea person, an original inventive person, or whatever words we want to say where the concept of originality and starting a new precedent or starting a new prowess would be by having this Saturn in Aquarius. Now, it's fascinating that we are in the age of Aquarius, and I want to make a comment about everybody. All of us alive today, unless we were a baby, born, lived a short time, died, and are reborn, those are the only exceptions. Everyone else, this is our first incarnating lifetime in the new age of Aquarius. And because of that, it's important to look and see if a person has any planets in Aquarius, because that's connected strongly to this first life in that sign, or where the planet Uranus is at, because that's the ruler of Aquarius. So you have Saturn in the sign of Aquarius and at the last degree of that sign. So that tells me right away that this is a completing life for many things. Inventiveness, being unique, being different, being an iconoclast from other past lives going way, way back. I don't mean the one right before this one. The one right before this one, there may have been more of a sense of bowing down to others or giving your own empowerment off to others rather than keeping the strength of self focused. That's just one life. But going back to other breakthrough lives, you are supposed to be somewhat of an originator in this life. You are supposed to be destined to start new things, change laws, create new ways to approach something, create new breakthrough ideas, because you can tap into abilities of breakthrough uniqueness from past lives. You were born with Uranus conjunct Pluto and conjunct Mercury. That means they're all sitting next to each other. Uranus is at 11 Virgo, Pluto at 14 Virgo, and Mercury at 14 Virgo. Well, first of all, you've got an investigative mind for details that's fascinating. You can see the subtle things, the little things, the important tiny factors that go right over the head of others and that they don't pick up. You've got an eye of a Sherlock Holmes. And that's very good for day-to-day living in life, for picking up small, subtle things, comments or body language or change in intonation. You could be a very good body language expert. You are very good, and when someone is lying or misrepresenting something, you see all of the signs of lying and misrepresentation right away in others by having that Mercury conjunct Pluto. And you are very good in going deep, 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 deep down into something to find out its foundation, energy, and basis, and to understand the roots as to how something and or a business or work or situation is operating. Now, Uranus is there too. And you were born in that particular series of years. And I'm not going to mention the years because that will reveal your birth year. But in a series of years, and we have a period of about 6 years, in which all people born had the planet Uranus and the planet Pluto conjunct or sitting next to each other in the sign of Virgo. And that means all those people born in that six-year period were sharing a certain amount of group karma by having this configuration in their chart. And this is what this configuration means. It means that you are to go with the flow. You are to see the old ways, the old world, the old belief system, the old age, and I don't mean old age in a person, I mean the age of Pisces, out, and you're to be one of the first harbingers or breakthrough people or futuristic people or inventive people or creative people of the current and new age. Uranus is the ruler of Aquarius, the new age, and it sits next to Pluto. And Pluto represents the death of the old for the rebirth of a new. And it's in Virgo. Everyone had it in Virgo, and you've got more planets in Virgo than any other sign, three planets.
Wow.
So you're very, very good with specifics. You don't let little things bother you. You're good with little things. Little things with whether it's figures and calculations, whether it's observations of imperfection, whether it's something that's been based on an improper foundation, you're good in seeing it, discovering it, bringing it out or making change or enforcing the fact that change needs to be done to take something from incorrectness to correctness. This is all connected to that powerful interaction of those three planets. It's not like you have three planets in Virgo and one's at the beginning, one's at the middle, and one's at the ending of that sign. They're all sitting right next to each other like patchwork pieces of material sewed together. And so this is very fascinating. And Mercury is very powerful in Virgo. It's in its own sign. So this is another reason why you have a highly developed cerebral nature. You are born under Libra, an air sign, which enhances intelligence. You were born with Gemini rising, which is very much an enhancer of intelligence. And your Mercury is in the sign that it rules, or one of two signs. It rules Gemini and Virgo, and it's at home in Virgo. So this is very good for any form of deep, well-thought-out, well-planned, well-organized cerebral work, business, and patterning. Your moon is in Taurus. Now, what's interesting is when I looked at fire signs, earth signs, air signs, and water signs, because those are the four ways planets could exist, fire, earth, air, and water, you don't actually have the greatest majority in air signs. You have the sun in air, Libra. You've got Saturn in air, Aquarius. And you've got ascendant in air, Gemini. And we're not going to count the nodes because they're not really an official planetary body. You've got the most in earth signs, and earth signs are Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. You have the three planets in Virgo, and you have the moon in Taurus. So, Denise, you can take something very creative, very inventive, very deeply planned and thought out, and bring it down to brass tacks and functional logic for others to understand and work with. You can take something that's incorrect, improperly based, poorly constructed or worked at, because you could see the faults in the details, and have it corrected and organized so that it becomes an incredibly functional, well-oiled energy or entity. And that's because of the earth signs, the ability to take things and to practicalize them. Your moon is very powerful because it's in the sign it's exalted in, the Taurus moon. And I notice it's in the house connected to all of humanity, not just friends and acquaintances, but people in all countries in the world, all fellow human beings. And so because of this, if you work with your intuitive self, you have a great capacity to connect with feminine energy, the goddess energy, the divine feminine, the sacred feminine, because the moon is related to that. And I want to say right now that feminine empowerment is as equally powerful and correct as masculine energy in manifesting and correcting, in creating. We've been unfortunately been kept ignorant of the power of the female. We only look at God as a male figure or as male deific power. And the sun rules the male power of creation, the god energy, but the moon is connected to the female power of creation, the goddess energy, and it is equally as powerful. So the energy. Go ahead.
You know what, Ron? I was going to say, you can't have male energy without the female energy, because that moon, if you let those men all run the sun, it would never be dark. And the moon is the female, they'd go crazy, and they'd be begging us to come on over. So guess what? I always knew that men and women have the exact same power because neither one can really exist without the other, don't you think?
Well, yes, and we are having more and more people when they do their prayers, they're saying, "Dear God, Goddess." They're saying that not because we think of goddess as some primitive tribes worshiping a symbol of a goddess. We mean that the female power of creative energy is everywhere, and it is one of the two balancing factors to create the all. And what this means is the moon is the connector to that. That's why it is called a feminine embodiment. She rules the tides, the waves. She mothers the earth. So the moon is always the energy of the divine feminine, and you've got that in your house of interconnections with fellow human beings. So what do I mean by this? It means when you meditate, when you have intuitive dreams, when you focus on your spirituality, you really have a much stronger pipeline to connect with the feminine energy, the goddess energy, the divine feminine, the sacred feminine. Not only that, teachers, guides, angelic beings that come to you will more likely appear in a feminine embodiment than a masculine. Now, this does not mean you're to throw away the masculine vibration, the sun, and the male empowerment. It just means that in this lifetime, as Denise, you have a particularly psychic connective ability to the feminine energy, and don't be afraid of it, and don't cast it aside. Now, that could be what a problem was in a past life. You gave up your feminine self for giving empowerment to others. You exalted them and you degraded yourself. You gave, and you didn't have respect for yourself. And I mean that not to be too harsh, but I mean to say that was kind of like the way that the past life vibration comes from. And in this life, not only are you putting that back into balance with the Gemini ascendant, the two male and female, male-female power, but you're also really emphasizing feminine empowerment. So work with feminine energies when you are working with your spirituality. Do not ignore the masculine. They will still work with you and come through you, but you will tend to work much more with the feminine power than masculine, and it will flow more through you in a natural way, and it will flow more to you in an acknowledgement way. You've got Neptune right sitting on the very beginning of your house of health. The house of health starts at 15 Scorpio, and you've got Neptune at 15 Scorpio. Now, that's very interesting. House number 6. That is a very strong thing that I've seen in charts of people that are naturally born psychic healers or medical intuitives. You've got
a
natural type of chart to sense medical developmental conditions in other people. Now, it does require a certain amount of boldness at times, because if you sense something, you sense a disease starting, an illness starting, tumor starting to grow, a cancer or some other illness inside the body of another person that they're not even aware of, then how do you present it to them? Do you just go right out and talk to them boldface, or do you just say, "I had a dream, and I had a strong dream about you, and this is what I saw in the dream"? And sometimes that's the easier way to present it. But what happens is you could make other people aware of developmental challenging health problems way before that person is aware of it themselves, and therefore you can help them take the necessary steps to correct it. You also can be a tremendous conduit channel for intuitive healing energy, or should I say psychic healing energy, perhaps it's a better word. You can actually have energy come into your body, flow through your body, and out into, directed into other people. Not only could it help heal yourself, but you can also work with the energy being directed to healing others. Neptune is where you have a connection to psychic flow. It's where you have a connection to etheric energy that's not necessarily part of the physical world or physical plane. And you've got that highly etherical vibrationary planet sitting right on the beginning of your house of health, which is always work with the metaphysical, the spiritual, the mystical, the intuitive, and the healing energy first, or any acknowledgement that you're directed psychically to do in any of those fields with having Neptune in that very prominent placement. Jupiter is in the sign of Taurus, and it's retrograde in your chart. And retrograde is not a bad thing. You've got two retrograding planets, Saturn and Jupiter. Now, I already told you about Saturn. You're supposed to tap into past life energies of inventiveness, or where you were quite in the role of an inventor or ahead of your time. Well, having Jupiter in Taurus, this means you're tapping into past lives in which you think big or had a very powerful connection to God, to God force energy, to spirit energy, and to energy of the power of angelic beings. Jupiter is connected to angels. It's connected to any form of religion, not just one religion, but any form of belief system or religion, and it's connected to a higher power. And having Jupiter retrograde, it means that in this lifetime, you have the ability to reconnect with an understanding of higher energies, higher powers, higher angelic beings. And you could work with those beings on a metaphysical way or just in a prayer and belief system way. But it is kind of interesting having Jupiter in Taurus, because there is sometimes a certain amount of financial and fiscal protection by having that planet in that sign in a person's chart. You've got both Mars and Venus in Leo. Are we getting too late, Bonnie? Are we getting close?
We've got three minutes left.
You've got Mars and Venus in Leo, and one is at the early part of Leo, one is at the middle part of Leo, and it's fascinating that when those both deal with men and women, boys, girls, male embodiments, female embodiments. They deal, in this case, with the male species and the female species. Mars is masculine. Venus is feminine. Venus rules women and girls. Mars rules boys and men. And so it's very interesting that those two planets are sitting in the same sign, and they are in the sign ruled by the sun, S-U-N, sun in the sky. And having Mars in Leo is actually somewhat good, because it enhances or speeds up for yourself power for healing or power to regenerate. Even if you don't work with psychic energies, just as a natural way of having Mars in Leo, that could be a robusting energy for recovery and refreshment of body and physical self. And having Venus in Leo, that means you've got a very strong connection between understanding the vibration of the love of the heart center. Venus is connected to love, and Leo is associated with the heart and the heart chakra. And you have a very interesting chart, because you could manifest things in life through thinking and thought forms, Gemini rising, air signs, thinking, mind, mind power. Mind is magnetic. Mind visualizes and brings things to you. But you also, with Venus and Mars and Leo, particularly Venus, you could manifest through the power of the heart center, which works in a different way to manifest. It works through the power of love and the power of positive desire, not negative or harsh or sexual desire, but positive desire. And so by desiring things, by sending out the energy of love, you could manifest just as strongly as you can with mind and mind power. And that's a breakthrough revelation that your body and your soul is experiencing in this lifetime, the ability to learn to work with both the power of the mind and the power of the heart. Both ways they'll create manifest things in reality. One, what we think, what we draw, what we visualize, what we write down, what we reread, we create. And the other, through what you desire and what your power of love sends out, you can create. So those are just kind of an overview of planets.
Well, I love that, Ron, but I've got to ask you, because I have been wondering this, and I'm sure Denise will not ask you. But what is she? Okay, I know we're taking a little bit more time. Kelly, I know you're out there. Give me another just one half. But I have to tell you, Ron, everybody in chat loves you. I have two more people who want readings from you. They say that you're amazing, and I am really happy to offer, you know, you on the radio. And I thank you, Ron. But don't hang up, because what I need to ask you is this. What does she have in the seventh house?
Sagittarius, and absolutely no planets there. That means Jupiter and the sign of Sagittarius is connected to the seventh house. This means a marriage to someone who could have traveled, who could be from another country, who could be very multilingual, who could end up, this could go many ways. It's a fire sign. It could be a partner who could have a temper, could be very blunt, could be very straightforward, very honest, very direct, very frank in their words. This can also indicate a partner that can be happy and jolly and funny and jovial and then turn around and have a temper and say bluntly and directly and get angry and say what they think. So there is a certain amount of fiery dualism in the seventh house by having Sagittarius there. The ideal mate would be someone who is worldly sophisticated, who travels, who has traveled, who may have lived for a brief time in a foreign country, or may have actually been born in a foreign country, or multilingual and having an adaptability with people from all different countries and cultures.
That is so interesting. And Denise, I hope that you have I hope you have gotten something out of this reading because it was quite in depth.
Yes, I have. I'll talk with you about it, Bonnie.
Okay,
there's some things that I'll have to ask you about. But thank you so much, Ron, for all of this information. Thank you.
Now, really, a real reading is much, much longer. This is just a thumbnail sketch. A real reading takes 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
Please tell everybody, Ron, where they can get a hold of you. Ron does readings. He does them by email. He sends them to you. He does an unbelievable job. I go to Ron, and I will tell you that when I am there, it is so in-depth. It is one of the best readings you will ever have. And I can't tell you, get your money together and go see him, because I'm going to tell you, he is worth every single solitary penny that it is for a reading. He also gives you your reading. You can take it. He sends it to you email. You can download it and listen to it for later. He gives you charts. He scans in charts. And also, he has a lot of clientele that keep coming back. I'm one. Every 6 months, I get an update, guys. And I know that friends of Ron's, if they're making a big purchase or they're going in for surgery, always ask him to look at what's going to be their better days. So, Ron, can you please tell everybody before we say goodbye till next week how they can get a hold of you?
The way to reach me is through my email. It's livingastro, 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 @AOL.com.
That is so great. Ron, I've got people in chat that say you are amazing. So, again, I am going to thank you. We love you. We love astrology. And love is always in the air when we talk astrology, isn't it, Ron?
Yes, it is. And happy Valentine's Day to everyone. Happy Lincoln's birthday. And happy full moon.
Why, thank you. We have a lot to celebrate. Oh, my goodness. February is full of all the warm and fuzzies. So thank you again, Ron, and we are going to, we are going to say goodbye, and I will talk to you next week, my friend. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Denise?
Yes.
I am just going to say thank you for allowing us and everybody to hear your chart. I know you have questions. I would have let you ask Ron, but we have to run. But if there are questions you need to ask, I'm sure if you email him, he did your chart, he did your reading, he will be able to answer most of the astrology questions. If you just want to talk to me about it, I love that, girlfriend.
Okay. I will talk with you soon, and thank you.
Thank you so much, Denise, for sharing with us, and have a nice day.
All right, you too.
And now,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And now, everyone, I usually play music. The music is between Kelly and Ron. I play exactly the same, but since we are running late, I'm going to just bring the fabulous Kelly on. Kelly, darling, you are on. Hey, Kelly.
Hello. I heard that go unmuted. Darn, I was hoping you were going to let me ask Ron a question. I still wanted to ask about the progress things, and I was going to ask if it makes a difference, like, you know, in the progressions, like during the years, you know, since I just had my birth anniversary last week. It's like, what would be, you know, if he does it like a year by year thing, and it's like how those work. So it's like, you didn't let me ask my question, Bonnie. Darn it.
Oh, I am so, you know what? I thought you were going to ask me because I'm going to allow you to get on. I'm going to have him do your progression next week.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Awesome, okay. I'll make sure I'm here.
Yeah, that's what I was going to tell you, that I know that Tabitha, we've got Tabitha and you both, honestly. Progressions don't take as long as a chart, even though this chart that, you know, that you listen to, it only takes half an hour. You're looking at a 2.5-hour reading when you do get wrong. So I am going to ask him, I am going to ask you, in fact, I was there 3.5 because, you know, my chart is just full of everything you could think of, chock full enough, as we say. But, you know, I am going to tell you that you're going to love your progression. I'm going to talk to Ron that, yes, I'm going to ask him to explain progression. And you can ask him, and then I'm going to give him time to go over your chart and give you a little bit about your progression. Or ask, you can ask questions he has in front of him, which might be a great idea. So, I'm going
to
put
and him
on.
And I would actually like to do, I haven't done a birth card reading for him. It's like, I would love to do a birth card reading for him. I'm really curious to see what his card is.
Well, I'll tell you what, maybe you'll do his birth card starting. I'll put Tabitha on first. And let her do her reading. We won't talk so much about the planets and the stars next week. We'll put you at the end and see if he'll hang on and let you do his cards, and I will offer that to him. That is so sweet of you, girlfriend. Now, I have had callers that have waited. I've had 2 callers. Actually, I had a lot on the board. Now, if anybody wants to call, and Kelly is taking readings, she is taking questions, and I'm going to take the first caller, but Kelly, before I do that, I want to say happy birthday to you, girlfriend.
Again, okay, thank you. I know, I'm the speed limit on a state highway.
You know what? When you put your 208, I thought that's how old you were. When you put, now I'm 208, because I knew you just had a birthday. I'm like, well, 208? Okay. Well, I can believe that. You might have been on the planet for 208 years, although you look darn good. I'm going to ask you what thing you use, because at 208, honey, you look fabulous.
My son and I, my younger son, the 11-year-old, and I have a contest. We're going to see which one of us is going to outlive the other, because actually there is this, it's a really old book. It was written back in it was published in 1939, and it's called The Ancient Secret of the Fountain of Youth, and it's by Peter Kelder. It's Keldar. And there's five, he went and spent time in Tibet with, at one of the monasteries, that kind of stuff. And the way the story starts out, when the author, Peter, first meets us, he calls him, gives him a pseudonym, calls him Colonel Bradford. When he first met the guy, he is a retired Royal Air Force, officer, whatever. And he was in his 60s, and he looked 60. You know, he was, slump-shouldered and graying hair and, sour complexion and all this. And he was like, I think he said he was like 65 or something like that. I mean, he was, he's in his 60s. So this guy was telling him, I'm going to go to Tibet and I'm going to, check this out. And I've heard about these, Fountain of Youth they have. So, he didn't think much about it. So he was like, okay, well, let me know how it turns out for you there. So about 12 years later, he gets a call, and one day, and it's like, he says, hey, do you remember me? He says, well, is it okay if I come by tomorrow? Because this was in England, and they were very proper, call ahead of time, before you just drop by. So he says, yeah. So at the appointed time, the next day, there was this, knock or ding-dong on the doorbell, and he answered the door, and it wasn't anybody he recognized, and he says, oh, I was expecting someone else. It's like, can I help you? And this guy looks at him, and he says, Peter, don't you recognize me? He was kind of looked at him and goes, Colonel Bradford? Because he said he didn't look 65 anymore. He looked 45. And, so that's what that's what the book is about. It's a really, short and sweet, 90 little page booklet, whatever. But it gives you what he calls the five rites, R-I-T-E-S, Tibetans do, rites instead of exercises. They're very simple. And they did this thing called a Himalaya Club. I mean, he kind of explains this in the book. And they took people from all walks of life. They wouldn't take anybody less than 50. And it's like they had the, all these people come in.
I guess they can't take me because I'm in So
oh, you
know.
Qualify, okay. Okay. but what they do, the yeah, okay. I got off on a tangent, didn't I? I'm excited about it, though, because it works.
I am really happy. I'm very glad that you're excited. I was only saying, I'm 18 when you said, I think this will work for you. Then you're actually telling people, I'm not 18. I was not trying to stop you. I was just trying to tell everybody I'm in a second soul window. I'm 18 to 19. That's
right. Oh, okay. There you go.
So I'm sorry. I wasn't upset with you about the Himalayan thing. But I do have some callers. Would you like to take callers? Or I don't mind.
Absolutely.
You can keep going.
We'll take some callers, and if we have some time, we can come back to that because it is. It's like it's something that, you know, it balances your chakras, and they say the reason we age is because our chakras get out of alignment, so to speak. It's like if you think of a Swiss watch, you know, and how the cogs all fit together, it's like our chakras are like that, and when they're spinning together the way they're supposed to, we don't gain weight. You know what I mean? It's a body balancing thing, and it's like, and when everything is spinning the way it's supposed to, we literally don't age, and we can turn the clock back. So it's really, you know, like I said, for a small book, it's a powerhouse. It's worth finding. It's like I don't know if it's still in print or not. I know last time I found a copy was at Hastings Bookstore, so but I had to order it.
Well, can you please tell everybody the name of this book now that you've got all of us over 18 wanting to buy this book? What is the name of this book, Kelly, please?
It's really long. It's called The Ancient Secret of the Fountain of Youth, and the author is Peter, P-E-T-E-R, Kelder, K-E-L-D-A-R.
K-E-L-D-A-R.
And it's published, it was first published in 1939, so it's been in publication for quite a while. He's also got, they also came out with, they've got a cookbook that goes with it. They had a video, you know, to show you really how to do the exercises. And they said, like for some of the people who were like, I mean, some of these people were like in their, you know, 70s and doing this, and they were having a hard time with some of them. And this one guy was really determined to, like, he used, you know, some aids, you know, whatever to describe that, how, you know, how he did that. But the thing is, you start out with only doing 3 repetitions of each of the 5. And it's like, and then from there you add like 2 a week. You know, you do them like every day, whatever. And it's, you'll see why. It's like if you're a jock, is, you know, if you're somebody in college age, if you're under 25, they don't do you much good because they're actually designed to return your chakras to about the age of 25. So if you keep after them, keep doing them, and if you follow the diet, there's I shouldn't really say a diet. It's a way of eating. It's kind of like the way of life that they eat, and it's you know, very, again, very simple. There is, you know, no brain surgery involved here. It's like it's really simple, really easy, and it's just with a few adjustments you go, wow, I never knew I could feel so good.
Well, honey,
so it is. It's pretty awesome.
I am going to look for that book. I'm going to tell everybody where and when they can find it. And I'm going to take the first caller, Kelly, because I know these people have been waiting for you, my girlfriend. So I'm going to take 248. You are on. Hi, this is Bonnie and Kelly. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, Bonnie. Hi, Kelly. It's Tabitha.
Tabitha, hey, from Florida. All righty.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, girl, I'm so happy to talk to you. I know that you and Kelly are going to share next Wednesday with Ron, so I am so happy to talk to you. And you are a new listener. We do have all different shows that you are on with the fabulous Kelly. So go ahead. I know you're going to want this life card reading because it's I can hear it calling your name, Tabitha. Go for it, Kelly.
Alrighty. Alrighty. What I need is your month and day of birth and then what your current age is now.
Okay, my birthday is February 21st. Did you say you needed the year, too?
Just your current age.
Okay,
so my current age. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, my current age is 28, but since my birthday is coming up, I'm almost 29 now.
Almost. Yeah, I was thinking that. I was like, darn, you know, this is one of those where what I'll give you is just, you know, it's just kind of the tail end of what's, you know, of what's been going on like this year. And then we'll look just a little bit. It's like what I really like doing is catching everybody like at the first of the year, at the start of the year, you know, so you really have an idea of what's going to happen for you in the coming year. What I will do here, and I'll just say right up front, you can catch us in archives because I'm going to talk fast and just kind of go through this. I'm going to give you the time frames and the planets and where they're located, which planet rules where. So for your personal year, for February 21st, of course, and now you're 4 diamonds. And let's see, what's your planetary ruler? Your planetary ruler. Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Kelly. I don't. Since she's a first-time listener, I don't think Tabitha's going to understand if you go all the way back to last year. So are you going to go all the way back to last year? Or Okay. So
no, what I'm gonna do is I'll give her the dates and the planets, because those are the same every year. Every year the dates and the planets
okay.
are exactly the same. They rule the same. So it's like, so once you have the dates and your planetary ruling times, that is your personal year, and those dates are true for every year. The only thing that changes is the cards that are within them each year. Is with that, you know, kind of that card schedule.
Yeah.
But wow, you are four of diamonds with an eight of diamonds as a planetary ruler. So a lot of stability, a lot of power there. Wow, this is cool. Okay, and your personal stuff, it starts out, Mercury is the first planet that impacts, and they stay in it for like 52 days. So that goes from your birthday, from February 21st, and it goes all the way to April 14th. April 14th starts the Venusian, the Venus time frame, and then that goes till June 5th. June 5th starts the Mars time, and then that Mars goes from June 5th to July 27th. Your Jupiter time frame, which is, you know, the blessed time of the year, goes from July 27th until September 17th. And then Saturn comes in, there's your challenging time of the year, from September 17th to November 8th. Then Uranus starts in November 8th, and it goes to December 30th. And then Neptune starts December 30th and goes through to your birthday. So those are consistent dates. Those will be the same every year. It's like those are the planet, what they're called, planetary period dates. Okay, and let's see here. Let's take a real quick look at, well, first of all, we'll tell you a little bit just about the four diamonds in general and what the eight does. And actually, I'm going to do the planetary ruling card first, because it always gets left in the dust as I get to going on here. So if I do it first, I don't forget it. But with that eight of diamonds, yeah, I know. With the eight of diamonds as your planetary ruler, this is kind of how you manifest to the world. It's kind of like your ascendant, you know, in astrology. It adds an element of power to your personality. It may give you a desire and ability to become well-known in some way. Your power is expressed through your values, because diamonds, they're the adults of the deck, and you come here to learn lessons and values. It's a lot of times you get it through money, because diamonds does represent money, but the deeper bit is, you know, what is really important to you? What are your values? You know what everything is worth, and you can drive a really hard bargain. You're a powerful person. You probably attract other powerful people with whom you must deal with. You'll probably be the one in your family to manage the estate, and in that regard, you're very trustworthy and fair. You've got some artistic ability that can bring you recognition, though you may just seek recognition through the acquisition of money and power. In love, you probably have some uncertainties that need to be dealt with before you find true satisfaction in that arena. Okay, and that's kind of how it manifests out. So now let's look at the actual birth card, which is that four of diamonds. You got double diamonds there. And it's called Stability in Values. It's a card of protection in finances. But again, that protection is only accessed through hard work, because, you know, these are the hardworking cards, you know, adults of the deck are. This card above all others, you need to put forth that effort in order to reap the rewards, but the rewards are there. If you try to get something for nothing, you're going to have failure and frustration. Any money that you have or receive is always going to have some kind of responsibility attached to it. You've got a really good business sense and the ability to manage and organize a business very successfully. Others might see you as stubborn, but you know that maintaining order and structure in your life and being clear about what's most important to you is always going to bring you success and satisfaction. And that's kind of your intuition. I'm sure you're, you know, calling in shows like this, it's like you go, yeah, you've got some in touch with that intuition going anyway. You're not going to change anything in your life that's working well for you. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, no matter what others think or say. And even as a child, you knew what was important to you and what was not. And I will say, having two diamond children myself, diamond children hate being treated like children. They think they're miniature adults, and you just kind of go, I'm just waiting for my body to catch up with my mind. To achieve success, you often have to come to terms with your own inner restlessness. You've got this five of spades karma card, which is called the card of the wanderer, and you've got some dissatisfaction, which can tend to lead you away from establishing yourself really in one area and making true progress. The work you do often involves, you know, either with your marriage or closest relationships, because you're very sociable. You meet a lot of people. You usually have a lot of friends. The difficulties to be dealt with in your life is a lot of it you got to watch a tendency to get into a rut and, you know, get stuck in a rut. And, you know, my favorite bit is from my grandmother's bit of wisdom is, you know, a rut is a grave with the ends kicked out. So don't stay there, because somebody may come along and fill in the ends. But all you have to do to get more happiness in life is to work, because, you know, you're not going to say you're a workaholic to the death, but it's like, you know, you do enjoy work. You know, once you get into action, everything just seems to smooth out for you. Your fears get laid to rest. The last years of your life often have the most freedom, happiness, and financial blessings. So, you know, right now that's, you know, right now you're in the midst of, you know, the trenches, and kind of think of yourself as out there, it's at noon and you're weeding the garden type of thing, okay? You're usually long-lived, the fours of diamonds are, and you enjoy traveling the world in your later years, experiencing the things you long for in your youth. So it's like, you know, you're kind of saving up, you're like the ant, and it's like you're saving up and you're going to get to do your traveling, unless you've got a job that allows you to travel now, a little bit later in life. Some of the issues concerning relationship. You've got really high ideals concerning love, and they can cause confusion in real-life romantic situations. You're stable and tough on the outside. That's that diamond exterior. But inward, you're very restless, and that's, again, it goes back to that five. It applies to your romantic life, so it's not surprising that, you know, sometimes you can be challenged, you know, to settle down with one person. You know, you might date the field or play the field, whatever that's called, you know, to have a lot of different ones, you know, it's okay, because you're just kind of trying to find out what you like and what you don't like. In addition,
Callie,
you've got karma. Yes, ma'am.
You can't date the field. You date the
field.
I'm really sorry, but you have to play the field, because if you date
Okay, well, I didn't do that much when I was there, so whatever it was called, it's like, yes, forgive my phraseology there, yes, whatever
well,
it's called.
You know what, well, you know what, Kelly, I always get everything confused, too, but I play the field, so see, I know. Okay, I'm sorry, I interrupted, go. Sorry,
Tessa. No, that's okay. Oh, anyway. But you got this karmic pattern that can create, or you can draw in one or more difficult marriages that, you know, ends in separation, divorce, something or other. So there's kind of lessons in there, you know. Or I've seen some people also with this card, you know, just be in it for life. So it just, you know, it just depends on how it manifests out. You know, a lot of times you can get into those relationships before you get married, and if, you know, it can have a breakup, you know, before you actually get married. But, you know, when you put all that together, there's a person here who you really want a good relationship, and at the same time, you got to pass some tests to acquire it. You know, tests are not just for school. Isn't that wonderful? For four diamond people, yeah, relationships are work, work, and more work. You're sometimes deprived of that life of ease and luxury until later in life. Problems are going to come if you look upon your relationships as a means of escape from the harshness of life, because, yeah, you don't get that luxury. Some of the cards do. Ironically enough, some of the cards do get that, but you guys are not one of them. You do have more than your share of charm, and you can usually get what you want in a romantic situation. That's backed up with that eight, you know, because the eights are the power cards. But you really have to be careful not to abuse that power, because if you do, you know, payback comes around. That boomerang comes around, just whacks in the head. And sometimes that can affect your health. You really have to practice high integrity in relationships to avoid challenging karmic involvements. Okay, now let's take a look and see what your year kind of sort of has, I'll say kind of sort of has been, and kind of where we're looking to here. So see what has been and what is coming to be.
So far, everything you said was just so on point so far. It was amazing.
Well, you know what I love about this?
We're good. Did you know that? I just wanted to let you know. We're very good. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, goodness. All righty. Well, thank you. I can't really take credit for this, because, you know, because people a lot smarter than me put all this together, though, because it's all based on, it's like mathematical formulas and probabilities. It's just, it's phenomenal. It's just really, you know, math really does make the world tick here. This year, for your 28th year, your long range was a six of diamonds. And that, man, back into the diamonds again. So it was really a year of what they call, I want to say, like finding your purpose in life. It's one of those, you know, what I'd say, purpose-finding years. And it's also when you would have been, let's see, karmic. The six are like karmic things, so it's kind of like balancing the scales. It's also a very steadying influence. Six is when it shows up as long range. it of course, the long range cards extend for the whole year. And it's good if you're in a good financial shape when the year begins, because that card is going to sustain, you know, whatever conditions were in effect when the year began. But if you enter the year kind of lacking financially, you could kind of find yourself in a financial rut. You know, I'm saying this past year, you know, kind of struggling to get ahead, you know, constantly beset with unpaid bills, you know, that kind of tap your accounts. Also, that it's a karma card, that six of diamonds is, and it ensures that any imbalances in your financial picture is going to be evened out this year. So it might mean, you know, you paying off existing debts, or, you know, you repaid money that you loaned earlier, you know, whichever. And again, this would have been a year, it's just be wise to be totally responsible under that influence, because if you're not totally on the up and up, you will receive immediate payback. You know, like I said, that's a boomerang whack on the head there. If you recognize that inherent potential in this powerful card, you can get well ahead by always doing more than you were paid to do in all your business and financial dealings, you know, going that extra mile. And, you know, going that way brings you additional returns, especially under this karmic money card. As you sow, so shall you reap. Well, in any event, a lot of your experiences this past year is just going to kind of prove to demonstrate the need for personal integrity and responsibility in all financial concerns. On a different, you know, different avenue there. It can also mark a year in which you find a deeper purpose for your life and work. Again, it's like, you know, the money, and then it's the values kicking in here. Any six in this prominent position can signal a time when you discover something that you're fated to do. In this case, might be involved helping others, find a more meaningful set of values to your life, you know, base your life on. And the key words for this past year would have been a year of focus on financial responsibility, balancing of accounts, compromise for balancing in financial affairs, and you open yourself up to discover a special and higher purpose for your life's work. So those would have been keywords for, I'll say, you know, for your 28th year. Kind of just looking ahead here a little bit, this is really totally going to change for you when you hit 29. You're going to have a six again, but this time it's going to be the six of hearts for your upcoming year.
Woo!
So,
yeah,
I know. she's balanced money and values this past year. Now she's
going to
be balancing relationships. Yep. now it gets in Bonnie's area there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you that peek there, and then it's like, and then we're gonna see if anybody showed up for either. But the six of hearts as your long range, you know, and like I say, that'll be after you turn, you know, 29, and that's gonna be your focus, you know, for the coming year. It's a symbol of stability, and perhaps now they call it monotony in love and affections, but it's like I don't know. I never thought love was monotonous. But anyway, for
and
those
too young,
secure, yeah,
she's
secure
too young
foundation,
for monotony, yes.
Exactly. But if you're thinking of a secure foundation in love, it can be a welcome situation, though there's likely going to be compromises and lessons. At the same time, because of this karmic nature, again, of the six, it indicates a possibility of relationships that are in some way paying off old debts, you know, even from past lives. If a significant new relationship enters your life this year, you can bet it's going to bring up, you know, the balancing of the karmic scales in terms of love and affection. And it's going to show you the value of giving, as well as that, again, that you reap what you sow in the areas of love. Whatever the specific nature of the events and relationships this year, it's sure that what you're going to be experiencing will help you develop an appreciation for being responsible for yourself, as you know, as far as your romantic and friendship connections are concerned. And so this is I say, here's the bathroom index card for year 29. Is a key word there is I learn about responsibility in love and how to make compromises to maintain balance in my closest relationships. I open myself up to discovering a special and higher purpose for my life's work. So again, anytime those sixes come in, it's always about,
karma.
You know, you're going to find deeper way. Yeah, exactly, karma and deeper ways of doing that. There's a lot more specifics, but I sincerely hope that you'll call back, you know, after your birth date, and it's like, well, I'll get you up to speed. It's like if you get the Mercury, Venus, Mars, you know, all those written down. The cards totally change. I mean, they totally change from your 28th year to your 29th year. It's like it's like a wow. You're going to be really, really surprised at the direction things go from from 28 to 29.
Yes, we are going to ask you to call in right after your birthday. because you're
okay.
going to get your new reading in. But I don't know, Kelly, are you still giving her reading? Because I'm gonna bring in the person that's here.
Go ahead and do that. Yeah, because that's just kind of, you know, because like I said, I didn't want to go back and hash through the whole year. I mean, she had, you know, this was kind of ups and downs. She had a couple fives. There was something that indicated, like, you know, either geographical movement or just restlessness in the spirit, both in work and in relationship matters. And then there was some stabilizing. There was she had like a nine, which was, you know, as one door closes, another door opens. So there was some kind of ending happened in the Mars time frame for you this past year, which was like dealing with men, with legal, with whatever. Although, you know, the outcome was stable for you because there was a four there with it. But yeah, you had three fives this year. So there's, you know, definitely some restlessness and some kind of, I'll just say some upheaval. And then you had, as your displacement, you had a nine of spades. So there's, nines can be losses and disappointments, or, you know, if you're trying to hang on to something, or if you, you know, kind of open your hands and let it go. You remember like the picture of the dove, I'm sure you've seen it, you know, where it's like, you know, if you love something, let it go. If it comes back to you, it's yours, you know, if it doesn't, never was, type of thing. So you've had a couple of those kind of events, you know, kind of major, maybe bigger events this year of something like that happening. Okay, but
well,
yes,
you know,
Bonnie, go for it.
Kelly, because I've got to move on to the next caller, but I've got to tell you something, Kelly, that never works out. You know that saying, oh, if you love it,
it's
free, and if it comes up, oh, come on. You know, guys, you love it, and you let it free, and it doesn't come back, everybody cries. So, you know, just remember, it's a great saying. I love that saying because it really works. But while you're letting it go, it isn't coming back because you know if you let it go, there was a reason. So I just love that. I had to say it, Kelly, because I don't get to say that often. Also, Tabitha,
right.
I'm going to go through this real quick because you are young, but I have a female here, energy, and she's holding up the number two, so it's second removed. So it wouldn't be your mother. It would possibly be a grandmother or a great-grandmother. She's showing me she doesn't look too old. It might be an aunt, actually, too, but it's second removed. She said that do you paint or do you use a paintbrush?
I don't, but I have always been really artistic.
Okay, well, what they're showing me is, the scene that they're showing me, the person who is with me, she is with me, okay. She said that she is her artistic ability comes from me. And what she's showing me is she's very tall and thin. She's standing on a beautiful green lawn with an easel there, and she's painting. So the scene for me means that she's using a brush. And maybe you have a painter in the family or an artistic aunt, great-grandmother, something in the second removed. So, and it says that you are a free spirit, even though there might be times when you don't think so. You're very sweet, and you love fine things, fine fabrics. And she keeps showing you the color beige. Beiges, all shades of beiges and earth tones. What colors do you resonate with, Tabitha?
I like have a lot of earthy tones, browns and beiges and tans.
That's what she's showing me. And she's showing me sheep. I don't know why. So it says that even if you're on a shoestring budget, you like fine sheets. You like your sheets to be soft, and you like them a neutral color. So I don't know if that's something that you can – she's showing me that. She's actually showing me. She held up a sheet. And also she said that the cream is your color, all shades of cream. And inside your house and an apartment or wherever you've got a lot of creams, beiges, and linen-y colors, and that's what she's showing me. So I don't know whether it's her house or yours, but she keeps holding up these beiges, more beiges, tans, browns. She's showing me all of this, which means earth, very natural, very pure and beautiful, and that's kind of what I think she's saying about you, and that you do have artistic ability. Maybe you should pick up that paintbrush, is what I'm hearing. So I hope you write this down, honey, and you let us know when you call us back if you figured out, one, who it is, and two, I am sure if you look around your place, you're going to see a lot of beiges, beiges, and beiges. So
does she give you a name? Does she give you like her initial or her name or anything like that?
No, I don't. I mean, I could spit out a couple letters that she's giving me. I really don't do dates and names. So show me and remove. So she, you know, she's trying to give me symbols so that you'll know who it is. I mean, I can see she's slim. I mean, you know, and she looks around. She's got short hair, but she's showing me herself at probably the age of 40 to 50 to 60. So it could be that that's what she wants you to see, because I don't know if she died at 90. But she's saying she's twice removed, and that's either an aunt or a great-grandmother, because your mother would be here, your grandmother would be once removed, and your great-grandmother would be twice removed. And then there's cousins, because you could have somebody that's twice removed. So I do see her. She's a beautiful lady, but she could be showing me that because she wants you to see the artistic ability that you have, because the scene is so artistic. So, and I see that it was a painting. I know this painting. I just can't tell you who it was, but this beautiful woman is painting on a canvas, and you see her painting. It's on this beautiful lawn, and she's painting scenery, and that's what she's showing. So I don't know if she has that painting or she wants you to paint, but this is what she's trying to point out to me, that you are artistic like her. So ask your parents or ask any of your aunts or uncles if they know who this is, because you're kind of young. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I hope you call us back and have a fabulous day, Tabitha.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. You know, it's sometimes hard, Kelly, to read somebody really young because they don't always know the relatives that have passed. And that's why I ask them to write it down. Because, yeah,
right.
Because they need to ask their parents or grandparents. And twice removed would be a great grandmother, a great aunt.
Great something, yeah.
So, yeah, great something. And she already said she has a lot of earth tones, but I could see it. She just kept telling me. Even like her sheep, she showed me the sheep. Were very like fine.
Oh, wow.
Earth tones. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I'm going to take the next caller, which is 609, and they have been waiting a long time for you, Kelly. 609, you are on.
All right, so I'm getting SSC and SSI. Okay. All right.
Hi, 609, you're on.
609, you're live on here with us.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, you're here. Hi, you're here with Kelly and Bonnie. How are
you? Can
you
hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
You.
Can you hear us?
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Tabitha, too.
Wow, that is me.
Yes, my, you know what? It's so funny because I love the name Tabitha. So I loved it because Bewitched, that little girl was named Tabitha. What better name to have on a show like ours than Tabitha?
I was
Tabitha,
just cracking up when she said Tabitha, and it really caught my attention. I'm like, what? Wait a minute.
Well, Tabitha, girlfriend, you are on, so you get to ask Kelly or me a question, or you can have an Atlantean card reading, birth card reading.
I would like to know, I would really like to know about my love life. I mean, I don't want no flings, put it like that. I mean, I want something real. I mean, is this going to happen when I move, or, you know, where is it going to be at? I mean, I want something that's going to be serious. I mean, maybe next year, 2 years from now.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to let Kelly. Kelly, start setting up her card. Can you give Kelly your date, and then I'm going to tell you what I see. Tabitha, go for the reading, and I'll tell you what I see. So tell Kelly your birth date and how old you are.
My birth date is May 6, 1966, and I'm 47 years old.
47. Okay. Coming up.
And I just had a daughter named Tabitha that passed away. We just buried her last week on Monday.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So, Bonnie, there you go. It's like somebody's probably going to be trying to come through on that one.
So Tabitha's really capturing my attention today. I think she's probably trying to give me a message, and I need to be in the here and now so I can catch it.
Yep, there you go.
Yes, you really do. But I'm
and you can go back
to
archives and listen to this, which is awesome.
because you're going to want to know. And I would start, Kelly, because we don't have a whole long time for do her reading from now for May and give her a card. We have two more.
Okay.
We have a lot more callers on. But I'm going to tell you, Tabitha, here is what I'm picking up. How old was your daughter? Well, let's get with your love life.
She was
I am seeing an
29?
Yeah, because her birthday is March 19th. Yeah, so she was 29 when she passed away.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can I ask what she passed away from?
Well, she was born with a heart
condition,
and the heart just was just a little too much. I don't know if some medication was switched, but, you know, she had that heart problem. She's, you know, we were blessed to have her for 29 years. So,
yes, what she's
but,
saying.
You know, she was going through a lot of pain. She was lonely, and she has a lot of things going on that nobody else knew, but Mom kind of understood, but Mom still was acting up.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what she says. I'm going to tell you what she says, and we're going to move on. I don't know if you're picking up anything, Kelly, but she says,
I was going to say, you go. It's like, I'll tell you what I'm getting here. It's like, oh, my goodness.
At 29, she's dressed all in white, and she's throwing you white roses. She's throwing you white roses. You made her very comfortable. You made her feel alive. You now she's throwing you red roses, and now we got some pink ones. So she really loved you. And what she's saying to me is this: Ah, my goodness, she's here. I was born for you to teach you love. It was her you loved.
Wow, that's so true.
You understand?
Oh yeah, I understand.
And
that's why I was asking the question about love, but I understand. I understand.
Well, I will tell you that, too. But what she's saying is you wrote in your life pattern, you wanted to feel the love of a child. And she was here to teach you that love. And what she's saying is that she was very proud and she was honored that you picked her to come down here and have a relationship with, that she loved you and she knows the loneliness and she knows how you pick everything up for everybody, but you don't think about yourself. She also said that she knows leaving you was tough for her because she knew that you would the love that you had come down to experience, you did, and that kind of love will last you this lifetime because you won't find that kind of love on the third plane again. You'll find a different kind of love, and you would know that. Between a child and a mother is not a love between a man and a woman.
Oh, exactly.
And what she said is you were not able to find anybody while she was alive because your life was consumed with the mother-daughter. And I'm listening to her, but that's why you don't hear me talking all the time. The mother and daughter relationship that had to be solidified, built, and nurtured had to be without anybody else, even though you've tried. So what she's saying is that when she stepped away, you will find love now, and you will not be you're not here to be alone. And what she is saying, and she's giving you white roses again, and she's thanking you for being there as a mom for her. She couldn't have asked for anything better, and you made her life very, very comfortable and complete. And even though you felt she was lonely at times, she had you, and she never felt that way. So do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and now what I am going to tell you is I see the number 5. And 5 is not 5 years. 5 is in 5 days. 5 is in 5 weeks. So 5 is 5 months. So you've got some healing to do, and you still have to look at yourself is what I'm hearing. You still have to heal that part of you that will let you be in love with yourself and in love with the whole identity of the loss of your child and embrace it, love it, understand it, kiss it, and then release it because your daughter will always be with you. Your daughter is next to you. Your daughter's showing me your pillow, so she's with you at night. And what you are going to do is meet a man in about 5 months.
Okay. That sounds marvelous.
But I got to tell you, Tabitha, You know, we change our karma. We don't change our karma, but we do can change our karma. We change our energy. You have to get in the energy of finding someone. You say you want somebody, but what I am feeling is that you have your arms. Don't come near me. Don't come near me. But you're looking and saying, I want a man. I want love. I want something. But what you really have is your hand out there. So that means to me you're not ready.
Anything that's coming my way right now, I'm not even interested because I know I really got a lot of healing to do before I even think about getting a relationship. It's just some stuff that I need to work on, starting with myself, my inner self. So, you know, there's some things I need to work on. But right now, you know, I don't even want to know if I want to say it's really fun or not what I'm doing, but I know I'm not ready. It's going to be, I'll say about 5 or 6 months also.
But I'm going to tell you, Tabitha, and then I'm going to hand you over to Kelly because we don't have a whole lot of time left. We only have 10 minutes. But I have to tell you this. You need to work on yourself, and there will be a guy coming in 5 to 6 months. But if you're not ready for him, there'll be another one down the road. But I really would suggest you working on yourself. And don't look for a man for the next 5 to 6 months. Start loving yourself, being with yourself, understanding yourself, putting the grief where it needs to be. I'm still grieving over my father. Even though I see him and he talks to me all the time, I understand what grief is. And for a child, it must be, you know, it just must be horrible. So please know that she's with you. Talk to her at night. She says, Mommy, just talk to me. So she's up there by your pillow. Give her, talk to her, and you'll within 5 months, you're going to be in a much better place with her. So, okay, I'm handing you over, Kelly. Go for it, girlfriend.
All right. This is what was really amazing here. It's like Tabitha is actually a King of Diamonds with a Four of Clubs. So we got that diamond energy. But what was really phenomenal, gave me some chills here, was your daughter. That March 19th was exactly the same card. She has a Four of Diamonds was her birth card, and the Eight of Diamonds was her planetary ruler, which is exactly like the Tabitha that we just talked to. So it's like, listen back in that for some of those. You know, it's like going, wow. Not often do you see that. So I'm like, when it's an energy day here for the fours and the eights. I'm like, wow. I would concur with Bonnie on that. What I see here for you in the 47th year is there's that you've got a Three of Spades, which was overlooking like your whole year. There was like changes. And, you know, it changes in relationships, a lot of, you know, just changes and things and restlessness. There's creativity there. But you had a nine, you kind of had a warning. You kind of knew that she was going to be going simply because there's a Nine of Spades showed up in the Saturn time frame that's, you know, indicating there's going to be, you know, kind of some hard times there. A lot of times when nines show up, it's a time in transition because they're, I'm not going to say they're an alternative death card, but a lot of times when there's a Nine of Spades comes up in your reading, I've seen people's pets die, you know, or the aunt or uncle or somebody close, you know, close enough that matters passes. So it's a change. And that definitely happened in the Saturn time frame. There was that Nine of Spades along with the Six of Diamonds, and that Six of Diamonds is the purpose finding and the faded things, okay? Where you're actually at now is in the Uranian time frame. You've got a Six of Clubs and a Ten of Hearts, and it's like, and then your year ends up with a Ten of Hearts. So you've got a lot of support. Somewhere along the way, you've got a lot of support with things. What's really interesting is, and I'm going to encourage you, you know, strongly to call back, you know, when your new birthday comes, because you're going to have a total change. You're going to go from this Three of Spades energy to a Six of Hearts energy. And the very first thing out of the gate with that is the Ace of Spades, which is typically, you know, a death card, is a transition card. It's like, think of the Phoenix rising, where, you know, Phoenix burns up in its own ashes and rises again. So right out of the gate for your 48th year after your birthday, you're going to have this Ace of Spades and this Eight of Hearts. So it's like there's a lot of power. There's going to be a lot of transformation happening during that time frame, okay, in those first 52 days. So, you know, very much. And then you've got a lot of stuff, you know, wow. You got some more nines, you know, you got some more doors open, doors closing, you know, that kind of stuff. You got nines and fives coming through your, you know, through the 48th year coming up. But like I said, for the rest of this year, it is. It's just like what Bonnie said. It's like there's going to be some, you know, some healing time. That's kind of the six. It gives you some stability. That Ten of Hearts, you know, you're going to have, a group, you know, kind of gather and give you some support in one way or another. Your personal card, your King of Diamonds, it's called the Successful Business Person card. And in relationship, it's one of the cards that doesn't really have any particular either, you know, good or bad relationship karma, but being a king, you're very powerful and you're unwilling to compromise, which can cause problems on a personal level. Women especially, anytime a woman has a king as a birth card, that's tough because you got to find a way to balance that, you know, you've got a really strong masculine side in context of a relationship where the accepted norm is like, you know, the retiring female. It's like, nope, you are not the retiring female. You tend to want to dominate or at least be equal to your mates. And some men just are not able to deal with that kind of power in a woman. So it's like, you know, you're looking for a special guy. They'll say some of the women give up, you know, trying after unsuccessful attempts. But it's like, you know, I would say hang in there because, again, my grandmother's wisdom is there's a lid for every pot. There's a lid. Someplace there is a fellow that is just right for you. And it's like, you know, do a little bit of prayer and going, you know, God, I don't need 15 guys. I just need the one guy. Just need that one special person on this planet. It's like, bring him in, you know. But, you know, but like I say, that's after. First, it's like, you know, God, help me heal.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. A little bit more here. You can be a little bit guilty of looking at love and marriage strictly from a financial point of view because anytime a diamonds person, the joke there is that if you're dating or, you know, involved with a diamonds person, you have a price on your head because, you know, diamonds people always tend to look at their mates as kind of like, yeah, what's your value? What's your worth? They tend to monetize that, okay? So just be aware of that. It's always best for you to keep business and love separate until you find the right match for you. Both genders, you know, you need to, both men and women with this card need to learn to express your fears and emotions to really have better success in romance or marriage because communication is the lifeblood of any, you know, any relationship. It, you know, communication bridges the gap. It brings more intimacy. And you're attracted to someone as, you know, of wit, of good education. And a lot of times you'd be found working with your spouse in a business. So whether you have, you know, a guy who's an entrepreneur and, you know, you guys are going to do like an at-home business together or, you know, whether he's involved in something and you can be like, you know, the secretary, the office manager, you know, something like that. Not sure how that's, you know, going to pan out. But in some way, if you can be involved in business with your spouse, it's like you've got that successful business person card. So you've really got the oomph to be, you know, very supportive and probably equal. It's like this is one place I'd say equally yoked. It's like, you know, you're going to be pulling in the plow together with him. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, let's see here. You know, like I say, just, you know, a lot of it just, you know, you're kind of at the end, you know, at the end of the year, you know, type of thing. So it's like, you know, considering what you've gone through there. I saw the most interesting Facebook post the other day that said, you know, when a spouse dies, you know, you're either a widow or a widower. When the parents of a child die, they're called an orphan. And it's like, but when a child dies, they don't have, our language doesn't have a word for that because it's, you know, it's pain beyond because, you know, usually we expect our children to outlive us. We really do.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a special coming out right there.
But Kelly,
well, you know,
like you
said, I kind of knew that I was going to really outlive her. And it's funny that you said that. I did know that her death was coming sooner because it was the way I was acting, and plus I was playing with tarot cards. And I keep telling you, that death card and the page card and the tower card, I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to be sudden. And the heart, and it's like, you know, and it just kept coming up. The same cards kept coming up. And I just stopped.
Wow.
I assessed it. And I just ignored it. And then when it happened, the first thing that came to me was that reading, and I ignored it. And it was like I was just searching. I knew, but then I started asking for answers, and I already knew. You know, when you already know something, you study, keep, you know, asking for answers when you already know.
Right.
And I knew it.
Well, you know what, Tabitha?
That's why it's called the river in Egypt, denial. It's like, you know, you go into denial, you walk into the waters, and then you just kind of go, yep, I want to deny this. It's like, and then it goes, nope, guess what? You're there, you know. So you're back on the banks, you're back on the shores and going, yeah, I knew. You know, the nice thing is she's still there. It's like the body is not there, but the spirit is still there. So it's like,
that's,
you know, there's still that connection there. So it's like, yes.
And you know what, Tabitha? Tabitha,
yes, ma'am.
You need to talk to her. You need to talk to her at night. But you know what I love about cars and about – well, I always love the desk card because I always think the desk card is new beginning. So for me, I never think about it as
a
physical desk.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
So, but you know what? When you know somebody is going to pass away, when you know somebody – they're going back home. And when you know that you're going to be able to – it's still sad. It's still very horrible. It's a bad experience. It's not good. We learn from those experiences. But it's not always feels good on earth. But you do know that she's out of pain. She is with you. And there isn't any words, and I'm going to tell you this and tell all our callers and listeners, there isn't any words that can make you feel better when you have lost, especially a child. So we wouldn't even want to come up with a word for that because there's such loss. Your heart chakra goes into shock. And that does happen. But what you do need to know is you're here for a reason, Tabitha. And the reason that you're here is you are supposed to, you wrote this in your life plan. And if you call on a Monday or Tuesday, you can open your Akashic Records with Susan and me. And what you have written in for your life is to experience this for a reason. And that's usually karmically. It's to increase your soul. But we don't know that until we go back home. So please, I mean, I know it's horrible, and I don't even have words that wouldn't make any type of there's nothing I could say that would make you feel better except that we love you, you're loved, you will be loved, and your child is now at home, and she won't have the pain or any of the physical ailments that she has, and she can actually come and be with you and tell you anything now because you can't do anything to her. No, I'm only kidding. But she is going to be with you at night. And I hear her talking, and she keeps showing me your pillow. So
she is here at nighttime. I do kind of want to open up my mediumship and my third eye, but then I watch too many horror films, so, you know, I'm thinking I might see something else.
Oh, honey, I could have spirit here. If you listened to me yesterday, I was saying that there were so many spirits here. One day I had a party. I had a party with everybody's relatives, and the nice thing that was really cool is I didn't have to buy food or drinks because they bring their own, and I just loved it because I'm in the middle of it. I'm giving messages. I'm seeing all the party, but I don't have to lay out any of the expensive ones, and then when I need to tell them to go home, they go. So I love spirit. Don't be afraid of it. If you are in love and light and you bring in positivity and you bring in positive spirit messages, it's the best enlightenment on this earth you can have. We only have 90 seconds, and I want to tell you, Tabitha, from the bottom of our heart, we love you. We want you to succeed.
Yes.
We want you to work on yourself and come to the place and come to terms with anything that you have to move on. You'll never forget. It's nothing easy. You will not be in this lifetime. This is something that will be with you forever, but you do whatever you need to do. Take as long as you need to take. You aren't meant to be alone, honey, and you need to know that. So we love you, Tabitha. Please call us and let us know how you're doing, and we're always open here for you.
Thank you so much, ladies.
You
bet.
Hope that helps.
Yes, and I just need to tell you.
I want to give a shout out to 978. It's like 978 was hanging on there. It's like, you know, if you can call us back, it's like, please do. It's like, you know, we try to get to everybody during the day, and it's like sometimes we just don't.
I love you, 978. I'm going to write your number down. If you would like to call back next, if you're waiting for Kelly next Wednesday, we will take you first, 978. Kelly, please write that down if you have it, because I'm keeping this.
Okay,
I'm going to
look at her.
Yeah, 978, you're going to be on first next
gotcha.
Wednesday. Hey, everybody, we love you. I have a guest coming tomorrow. She is a healer. Ooh. She is a sound. Yes, you're going to love. You remember Laura Perrette? She's just like her.
She does
language of light, and her name is Jane, and she is going to be checked my webpage. We're done. So, Kelly, I love you. Everybody,
cool.
I love you. Now we're being recorded. Goodbye, everyone.
Awesome. Have a good one.
Bye,
thank you,
Kelly.
Bonnie.